Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the Star Wars Splash Page, Comics in Review.
It is episode number 157, and Jeff, we actually have comics to talk about this time. I know it's a novel concept, but after a two-week drought, we have Star Wars number two, and I'm so thrilled. And more importantly, it looks like our drought has ended because we have more comics coming up in the next few weeks.
Geek me all knowing box sets stay open May 4th. I'm hoping Luke gonna be hot as before. Cause Ren looks hardcore and I don't want Sith running the galaxy.
Wait, Matt, so you're telling me next week we're going to be able to read comics too?
We are. So I know. It's going to be difficult for you to wrap your head around.
Wow. Yeah. No.
You're going to have to alter your routine. But
I'm reminded of one of my favorite scenes from the film Tex, which is based on a book by S.E. Hinton, where the teacher tells Tex, the main character, that she doesn't want another book report about Smokey the cow horse. And he says, "Yeah, but I read it both times." She said, "Yeah, but maybe write a report about another book by the same author." And he said, "Wait, you mean that guy wrote another book? Wow."
Speaking of other books, we called it, or at least we had hoped that we would call it, in the news, The Clone Wars, which is returning to Disney Plus for its final season on February 20th, is getting a 5-issue weekly miniseries all throughout April from IDW Publishing, and it's called Star Wars Adventures, Clone Wars, The Clone Wars, Battle Tales.
It's called Clone Wars, The Clone Wars, Battle Tales? That seems odd.
No, I made a mistake.
Oh, okay. I'm not used to that, so I assumed that it was just very verbose. Now, let me ask
you. I make mistakes very often. Agreeing to do this podcast with you was one of them.
So, would it not make more sense to have that book released around the time the show premieres again?
You would think, but you know what? Because I think it actually kind of makes sense to do it like this. Because, you know, when the show debuts, and if memory serves me correctly, it's not going to be one of these, you know, dumps of all the episodes.
No, it'll be just like they did with Mandalorian. It'll be one episode a week. And what is it, like 6 or 10 episodes?
About that, I think it should be longer. You know, so think about it. Let's say it's 8 episodes. That's 8 weeks. So February 20th to March 20th. That's, you know, a month. That's 4 weeks. Then March 20th into April. So the miniseries is going to be coming on the heels.
I suppose that's true.
So it's very good timing, I think.
And especially if they are smart and actually promote it, you know, during the credits of the show.
I really hope they do. I really, really, really hope they do. Because here's the thing. Star Wars Adventures comics are all ages comics. But, you know, they don't sell a tremendous amount of copies. I mean, it's rare. Is it when they surpass 10,000 copies sold in a month? Very rare. But here's the deal. IDW has garnered a lot of goodwill and great attention for its previous two forays into weekly Star Wars comics, Tales from Vader's Castle and Return to Vader's Castle. So I think, you know, that shows that they know how to do a weekly miniseries. And the fact that they're, you know, touching on Battle Tales and, you know, and sort of dovetailing with the Clone Wars is a good sign that, fingers crossed, that the rabid fan base of which the Clone Wars, has cultivated will go to their local comic book shop and let them know, hey, order me a copy of this.
If they know about it.
If they know about it, you know, and we're doing a good, you know, we're doing our part to let people know about it. IDW is doing their part to let people know about it. You know, I imagine, you know, as we draw closer, StarWars.com, you know, we'll be talking about this miniseries. And then much like they do with Marvel's comics, they, you know, hopefully will be running previews, you know, the week before each issue comes out. It looks like it's going to be great. I mean, Michael Moretzi is writing it. We've had Michael on the show. So, you know, we're very, you know, we're fans of his work. He knows Star Wars. He's got a great feel for it. And much like, you know, the Vader's Castle miniseries, we got Derek Charm doing sort of the framing intro pages, you know, because each issue will contain a separate story. You know, then we'll have Derek Charm's cover and then his intro. And then we have each individual issue has its own artist. And Ariana Florian has got number one. Megan Levins has number two. Valentina Pinto has number three. David Tento has number four. And Philip Murphy has number five. All of whom are great artists. We've seen their work before in Star Wars Adventures. You know, I mean, Megan Levins did that great, you know, that awesome, you know, cover of Holdo and Leia.
Oh, yeah.
On Coruscant. Ariana Florian, you know, we love hers because it's hers is that sort of, you know, Disney style animation. You know, Valentina Pinto, who, you know, who is we call her friend of the show. We haven't had her on, but we need to get her on. You know, she follows us on Twitter and, you know, we're big fans of her work. So, you know, I think it's going to be a really, really good story. And I think that IDW has a real opportunity here, as does Lucasfilm, to not only burnish the Clone Wars legacy, but sort of lay down a really good foundation for future Clone Wars era comic book stories.
And I always enjoyed the, because wasn't it IDW that did the Clone Wars books back when the show was still on the air?
No, I don't know. I want to say that was maybe Dark Horse.
It was. You're right. It was Dark Horse because they were the ones publishing at the time. I always enjoyed those books. So I'm hoping this will be, you know, more of the same, which by the sound of things, it will be. And again, I do hope that they will be smart enough to promote it on the show. And I'll apologize if you can hear the snuffling next to me. Margo has plopped down right next to me with her nose right in my microphone.
What a surprise.
That and dog can't, loves can't you. Get her to move. Yeah.
That dog loves you. So, well, one thing to note, though, is because of this, you know, because it's going to be a 5-issue weekly miniseries, the normal, or not the normal, but the regular Star Wars Adventures is taking the month of April off. That was one thing, you know, I noticed when the IDW released the solicits for April, the regular title was not listed. So I put in an inquiry to IDW and they said, oh, no. And, you know, and my thinking was, hey, I just want to get ahead of things on this because given the irresponsible state of a lot of comics and Star Wars journalism these days, people are going to see that it's not in the solicits and then automatically assume that it's been canceled.
Right.
And I don't think that's the case, but just wanted to verify, you know, it's not being canceled, is it? And IDW has said, no. Just, you know, it makes sense, you know, with putting out essentially a, you know, 5 months worth of comics in 1 month. In 1 month, it makes sense to focus just on that miniseries. So Star Wars Adventures will be back in May.
Okay, good to know.
Excuse me, I apologize. So, elsewhere, of course, we have talked about how The Rise of Kylo Ren has gone to a second printing for issue number one, which will be out today, actually the day this podcast comes out. But issue two is also going to a second printing. So if things keep up, you know, we might see perhaps, you know, Kylo Ren might become the second Star Wars comics miniseries. The first, of course, being Galaxy's Edge, to see multiple printings of individual issues. And in other news, you know, we got our April solicits. Everything looks good. It's on track. You know, you can find all of this information on the Twitter feed and on the Facebook page. But Dr. Aphra is going to get a double dose in April. So we have issues 1 and 2 coming out in April. And there is a great interview with the writer of that series, Alyssa Wong, over at StarWars.com about the direction of the book. And adding to that was artist Marika Cresta. You know, they posted some of her her sketches, if you will, you know, of the various characters. And one of the things that really intrigues me is one of those characters is named Ronan Taggi. And if you have been reading Star Wars comics as long as we have been reading Star Wars comics, that last name will ring a bell, because yes, there is a Taggi family in Marvel Star Wars Volume 1.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. So, you know, no confirmation yet if this is that same family, but given, you know, how they pulled Valance the Hunter from legend into canon again, seems to me that it would make perfect sense.
You know, Disney and Marvel both are gradually bringing people in from what has become legends, starting with Grand Admiral Thrawn.
Oh, yeah.
And gradually pulling them in and making things canon again, and I really like it. And I like the way they're doing it too.
They do, yeah. It's this nice subtle way. It's not directly in your face, but you know, it's, you know, it goes back to that old chestnut of Dave Filoni's. You know, I mean, you know, what was it? Was it Ahsoka that said it? You know, there's truth in legends. So
right,
so,
right.
Speaking of legends, good Lord, no sophomore slump with Star Wars number two, huh?
You know, and before we go into that, I would like to just remind everyone that this show maybe not doesn't change lives, but it changes minds. Our good friend Dan Zare from Coffee with Kenobi had posted on Twitter that he was a little lukewarm on issue number one, and after listening to our thoughts on it, we kind of turned him around.
Yeah, but what he failed to mention in the tweet was the fact that I had showed up at his house and said, "It's a nice comic book collection you got there. Be a shame if something happened to it."
Hey, you know, whatever it takes.
I'm just kidding. So, no, that was really nice of him to do that. You know, and that's one of the goals of this podcast is,
or at least to help people see things kind of in a different light if they are sort of having trouble with it.
Well, you know, and not everybody has a comic book support group that they can gather around and chat with folks about their comic books. And you know, if our listeners are anything like me, I mean, because yes, when I listen to the podcast, I talk back to the podcast. So, you know, but you know, it's just, but it's, you know, it's pleasing to see that you know, the show is resonating with folks. You know, and then it's, you know, in some cases changing their minds, or at least at the very least enabling different viewpoints that they might not have had.
Precisely. So, and going back to it, like you were saying, yeah, no sophomore slump here. And starting with this cover, I love this cover.
That's R.B. Silva, baby.
Sets up the themes that we're going to see in the book, especially from Luke's part of the story, perfectly. Because we got Luke in the foreground with what looks like...
it's a shadow of Vader.
Shadow of Vader, but in between are the sort of the Death Star / Cloud City... markers from like the walls.
Oh yes,
which, yeah. I really like that sort of grating there. Really love that, and I love the, you know, the steam coming up from below as if it's Tabana gas or something from Cloud City. Just really, really great.
It's a nice one. And of course, this issue also has variant covers. There's one by Ben Oliver that you know, shows Chewie and Lando and Jabba and Tatooine, and then Chris Sprouse, Carl Story, and Niraj Menon are doing the Empire Strikes Back homage covers as well. So, you know, you can, you know, that's sort of the plan for all the new, you know, all the new Star Wars comics in this second phase. Look, let's be up front here. I was chatting with a friend of the show, Marv, over on Twitter. He is at Numidian Prime. And he does reviews of Star Wars for Fanthatrax and Comics the Gathering, excuse me. And he posited something that I thought that really resonated. But he says, you know, that after reading number two of Star Wars and along with issue number one, that Star Wars comics have never felt more like an event. And you know what? He's right. Because I don't know if it's the newness of it. I don't know if it's the fact that we're in sort of that phase two and that new timeline. And
it's like a new season, yeah.
It is, you know, and we're just kind of giddy with excitement about what we may see. Because, you know, we are about to, we're covering territory that, you know.
We haven't covered in 30 years, almost 40
yeah,
years.
40 years this year. 40 years, it's 40 years this year. So, you know,
and it doesn't hurt that both of these issues have been sort of epic in scope and feel.
Yeah,
a lot of stuff going on.
It's setting up this grand portal into, you know, to paraphrase MC Chris, you know, fuel, you know, that fueled Star Wars debate at Benikin's. So this is the Destiny Path Part 2, written by Charles Soule, art by Jesus Saiz, colors by Arif Prianto, letters by Virtual Calligraphy's Clayton Coles. We already talked about the cover artist. Of course, you know, the main cover was R.B. Silva and Guru EFX. The assistant editor is Tom Groneman. The editor is Mark Panizia. And then for Lucasfilm, we've got senior editor Robert Simpson, creative director Michael Siglane. And for the story group, it's Matt Martin, Pablo Hidalgo, and Emily Shkukani. And from the Lucasfilm art department, Phil Shostak. And we open up.
Well, first thing that I thought was interesting was in the crawl, it refers to Darth Vader's bounty hunter, but doesn't call him Boba Fett by name.
No.
I don't know why. That struck me. I thought that was interesting. But they refer to him as Fett. Lando refers to him as Fett in the course of the story. But I don't know why. I just thought that was interesting.
You know, I think by now it's probably a given that everybody knows who Vader's bounty hunter is. So, but we open up and we are in the Rebel Fleet 4th Division. And, you know, this is where we left off at the end of The Empire Strikes Back. And, of course, this is where we left off at the end of issue number one, because they're back. Luke is still missing his hand, and Lando is having to. There's no trust falls aboard this frigate.
The first thing is, you can trust me. And you know what? I love the art here, because Lando, the way Lando is drawn, he looks just like my Kenner action figure that I got back in 1980 or 81.
I was going to ask you that.
In which I promptly lost the cape for. So this is exactly what it looks like.
How on earth did you lose the cape? What were you doing taking it off to begin with?
I had a dog that liked to chew.
Okay.
And in fact, my Ben Kenobi cape that I have now, my brother took a lighter and melted it back together for me.
Okay.
How's that for MacGyvering?
That's nice. That's good work.
But yeah, but that's, no, it looks exactly like the action figure. Which that was really the second action figure I ever owned.
It really does. And they've nailed the colors of his outfit. So, you know, of course, I'm a little puzzled that, you know, I'm thinking clearly, obviously, you know, he didn't have time to pack any clothes. So, but.
That's why he ends up wearing Han's clothes later on. Yeah.
You know, that's why he's, you know, they had to leave Bespin so fast. But yeah, this is essentially, you know, Leia is not entirely sure about Lando yet.
When I love this, this is sort of Lando in a nutshell. He's sort of conveniently forgetting that he betrayed them all and double-crossed them all right before all this happened.
Yeah, but nobody died.
Right. Just got frozen and kidnapped.
Yeah, so... And
but
then,
he's trying to tell Leia that she can trust him, and she's not having any of it. And I love this. He says, Han's my friend too, whether you believe it or not, but if you don't want my help, I don't want to see your handsome rascal again, fine by me. And this look on Leia's face, and then this image on the top of page 4 where Han is saying, I know.
That's brutal.
It's a haunting image, and I love the way it's drawn and colored and shaded. Everything about that is just gorgeous.
And the fact that it's, and the way Leia looks, you know, when he says that. So... It's painful.
It's painful, but it's also beautiful. And so she finally relents and tells him he can go with the Millennium Falcon. We can spare it for a little while. I have to try to stay here and find a way to save the fleet. I says, if you think you can learn something from your contacts on Tatooine about whether Boba Fett's brought Han to Jabba yet, so they know where he's going. And Lando says, I know I can. I'll find out if Jabba has Solo. If he doesn't, I'll look for leads on Fett. It'll work. I've got friends all over that dust bowl. And Luke says, you say that like it's a good thing, Calrissian. And he says, oh, definitely, Luke, definitely. I can learn things none of you can, even Chewbacca. Oh, the big guy, but he doesn't speak basic. On Tatooine, communication problems get you killed. He says, and Luke says, I'm aware. I grew up there. Lando says, well, then you know what I'm saying, which I'm not sure Luke would. I thought about this for a second. I thought, you know, yeah, Luke grew up there, but I have to imagine that his range of travel was fairly limited. Growing up on a farm and with protective as Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru were.
Yeah, but you have to remember he's also a farm boy teenager with a land speeder and a T-39 Skyhopper. So, you know, I'm pretty sure
he'd probably get around. That's true.
You know, and my gosh, you know, if you had Lars as, you know, if you had Owen as your uncle, you know, yeah, you'd be chafing to get out.
Right.
So then
back to the book, Leia tells Lando, you know, that he's going to take Chewie with him. And all the way Chewie is drawn here as well, the way they've done his hair, his fur, I should say.
Jesus, the detail on it is great.
Jesus
is, you know, he's not shy about getting into the detail, and the coloring is perfect. Special shout out to Arif Prianto for coloring Chewbacca so deftly.
The coloring, and again, I mentioned the shading, especially like on the faces, the way the shadows hit everything. The light source is always consistent, and it's just really impressive.
Yep, they are clearly having fun.
And so she tells, you know, Leia tells Chewie, you'll keep Lando flying straight. If he tries anything, and he says probably something about ripping his arms out of his sockets. He says, come to that, no way. Ain't going to come to that, no way. Like I said, just trust me. And Luke offers to come with him, says he can help, And Lando says, "Yeah, I hate to be blunt, but you've only got one hand," and we see that Luke still, you know, he's still just got his hand in the little, I don't know what is that cylinder he's got it in.
It's like an Instapot, I guess. It's keeping the right. stump fresh.
Oh, that's gross.
I'm sorry.
Oh, wow. He says that.
I'm
Luke
sorry.
Says,
it was the first thing that popped into my head.
I know. No, that's the. That's wow. But Luke says, I don't need two hands, Lando.
If you're we're going to make food in your Instapot tonight, I humbly apologize. And
yeah, I won't be using mine for a couple of weeks. but Luke says, I don't need two hands, Lando. I've got the Force, which is maybe the hokiest thing Luke's ever said.
That's the most 15-year-old girl, teen girl attitude thing. You know,
that's essentially
my daughter telling me this.
It reminded me of The Force Awakens when they land on the planet and Han is asking Finn how they're going to get in. Finn goes, we use the Force. That's not how the Force works. So Lando says, let's so hope so, because if Boba Fett's already sold Han to Jabba, it'll make a rescue mission just about impossible. Getting me out of that palace alive, it'd take a miracle. We know, of course, that that's exactly what they end up having to do. And so they take off, and Chewie has to remind Lando that he's the pilot, and Lando's just along for the ride. And Luke says, can we trust him? And Leia says, only if we know he's going after something that he wants. That's why I sent Chewbacca. And she says, but Lando's not wrong, Luke. You should get your hand fixed. I love the way, I don't know why the way that's worded cracked me up. You should get your hand fixed. So he says, I already talked to a droid. They can make me a replacement, but I haven't been feeling myself lately, not since Bespin. I'm not sure getting a new hand would help. And Leia says, no matter what happens, you'll always be you. And I like the image of her touching his arm as she's saying goodbye.
It's very affectionate, but not, you know, overly affectionate. It is very sibling affectionate.
Yes.
You know, and it's also very platonically affectionate because, she obviously we know now that she has made her choice. And of course, yeah, if you remember where we are in the timeline, she does not know that they are related.
But she has told Han that she loves him.
Yes.
And we get a nice echo of the memory of the Leia's memory earlier when Luke looks down at his instant pot and we cut back to Vader saying, it is your destiny.
Yeah. And then we go to the next page, and boom, the Outer Rim, Tatooine. Gorgeous spacescape. Tatooine is rendered very lovingly here. And I got to tell you, these interiors of Lando and Chewie in the cockpit are so good. I just, you know, the scale is good. You know, through the viewports and everything, the detail on the dash, the instrument panels. I'm loving everything about it. But what more importantly, this is where Charles Soule excels, is the small talk dialogue.
Agreed.
I mean, he excels in almost everything he does when he's writing a comic book, but he is not afraid to shy away with really good small talk that's not overly wordy, but carries the story forward in a very smooth way.
Well, and it's genuine. And that's why it works. And he really captures the voice of the character.
He does. I mean, and you know, and because you know, we're seeing. I mean, you know, when he wrote the Lando miniseries, he captured the suave, debonair attitude of Lando. And now he's writing Lando, who is, he's still suave and debonair, but you know, Lando is, I think, feeling a little self doubt here. You know, he's in an uncomfortable position. You know, he's lost Cloud City. You know, he's a baron in name only.
He is adrift, literally.
He is literally adrift, and it's just Tatooine. Been a long time since I saw this hellhole. Hurt! You said it, pal. Not long enough. And then, boom, they're being fired upon. And just, again, you know, the mannerisms of Lando. What? What's that? Who's attacking us? Delightful.
Yeah, I love that.
And I hope I'm not alone, but I am hearing Billy Dee Williams' voice in this all throughout this issue. Because, you know, this is the Billy Dee Williams Lando.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think that really enhances the reading of this book. Because, you know, we hear the characters' voices in our heads. So.
And they've been beset by at least 10 TIE fighters, basically a battalion.
Yep.
And they said, your ship matches the description of a vessel of interest to the Empire. You'll be escorted, blah, 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 blah. Any deviation will be considered a hostile act against the Empire. And Lando says, yeah, I know it. This ship's gotten too famous. First rule of smuggling, keep a low profile. And while they're arguing, he and Chewie are arguing, we notice out of the viewport, one of the TIE fighters explodes.
Just very subtly, boom. And it's centered nicely because it's in the center portion of the viewpoint of the viewport. But yet you're right above it. You're able to see, you know, bits and bobs of the other TIEs and like what? And then all of a sudden the next panel, boom, 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 boom. And that's where we come in with a rear shot with, these small little tight fighters that sort of reminded me of those little Kenner toys. Remember that came out after Return of the Jedi. I brought it up last episode. The
mini rigs.
Yeah, the mini rigs. Thank you. So, I mean, you know, they're not mini rigs, but you know, clearly they're ships. But they just sort of reminded me of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I can see that.
And then you hear this right there, Han Solo, you're coming with us. And just the come on.
And I love it. They both, Chewie's got his arm over his eyes and Lando's just burying his head in his hands.
That's iconic. That's like that scene in Young Frankenstein where Gene Hackman as the priest pours the hot tea into Peter Boyle's lap and just Peter Boyle just looks up into the heavens going, really? That's a great panel. I really like it a lot.
It's great. And Chewie just, you know, I love Chewie. Whatever he says, they've worded it as Herc. And Lando says, look, I'd love to blast these jokers, but we only have me on guns and I'm not much of a fighter. What do you say we try another approach? Do it Lando style. We already got some good intel, too. If these folks think Han's aboard the Falcon, it means Jabba might not have him yet. When I give you the signal, show him the missile launcher. And he says, yeah, I know we used up all the missiles, but these idiots don't know that. So he gets on the horn, and he introduces himself, says he's not Han Solo, I'm Lando Calrissian. And he said, the Millennium Falcon is my ship and always was. Solo just held on to it for a while, now I've got it back. And you can tell Chewie doesn't like that, but whatever. Yeah. And he says, I always win in the end. And then he tells him, Chewie gets a missile lock on him. And he says, and I love it because we didn't mention this is a crew of Weequay.
Which is awesome.
Very, very cool.
You know, it's cool to see them used in this capacity.
Which makes me wonder if we're not going to see Hondo and Akka at some point.
I would hope so.
And he says, yes, my friends, that is a missile lock alarm you're hearing. I'm targeting your lead ship and most of your little fleet here. The guy says, oh, no, not good. And he tells him he's come to make a deal with Jabba. He doesn't want to be delayed, and I know he doesn't want me to be delayed. He says, I have a proposition. Escort me to the palace. Make sure no one bothers the Falcon, and I'll get a nice little piece of my agreement with Jabba. Truth is, I'd rather make friends than enemies, but if you don't want a deal, that's fine. We can always do it the other way. Wait, and then deal. And he'll let me just throws his headset. Follow us in. Good to be working with you, Baron Calrissian. He says, I told you, old buddy. Lando style. And that image of him with his head behind his hands behind his head. It's so perfect. And from here, we cut back to the Rebel fleet and we are being hunted is what we see. And everybody is gathered in, I'm assuming this is the same meeting room that we saw in Return of the Jedi.
Yes.
And who is this character that's talking? I know we've seen him before, but I can't remember his name.
Yes. No, he, if memory serves, he showed up in the first issue here because, you know, he's one of the point men, if you will, on rebel strategy.
Right. I could not remember his name. But anyway, he's laying everything out for everybody that's there.
It's Commander Greck.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
He's laying out to them that, you know, their codes have been compromised. They can't communicate with one another. Their transmission codes have the Empire has broken their transmission codes, and then we have Poe Dameron's parents sitting here as well.
Yes, Shara Bay and Kes Dameron.
Kes says they have our codes. How can we contact the other cells? Coordinator strikes, and we're getting, you know, this is all exposition that we've had before, but you know they're laying it out for us in a way that makes sense.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he says,
there's one thing I want to say, though, and we've got to ask Charles about this. Commander Greck, I wonder if Boxerless Bosk, a.k.a. Wes on Twitter, would know this, because there was a character in Dutch comics called Commander Greck. So and it was in the Dutch comic Storm. So it's a deep cut. Sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, the books, you know, the Storm has been translated into English and German and other languages, but you know, it's all part of, you know, creation. He's a creation of Don Lawrence. So, but it kind of struck me. So I'm wondering if that's a nice little odd nod because
it is an oddly specific name.
It is. And if you do a deep dive, you know, Greck sure does look like
Greck. Well, there you go, maybe. And I like that Poe's mom says he basically tells Kes, yes, that's what Commander Greck is saying. We can't communicate, we can't coordinate our strikes, not anymore.
Because the codes have been cracked. So.
Right. And he says, Greck says, Princess Leia will walk you through where we stand. And she says, we're faced with a very difficult choice. Our fleet dispersed into the galaxy after Hoth, small groups, each to its own assigned rally point, none knowing the location of any other cell. And she explains this was done to make it harder for the Empire to track down the entire fleet, even if they found one cell, they couldn't find us all. And the original plan was to send coded communications at set intervals to other cells and slowly pull the fleet back together, but we can no longer do that. Every time one cell communicates, the Empire will intercept the signal and send fleets to eradicate both. And is that supposed to be General Madine standing there, do you think?
I think it is. I wouldn't put it past them.
It's not a full beard like he's got.
No,
but
it definitely looks like him. I mean, the hair is a little off, but I think it is.
Hmm. Or maybe it's Major Madine or something. So one of the rebels says, so we're on our own. We barely escaped. The other rebels could be dead already. It's Shara, yeah. Like you said. And Leia says, it's possible. We know the 8th Division was probably destroyed, but we figured out what's happening. If we figured it out, other cells may have as well. Or not. Our friends and colleagues might have no idea that the Empire is waiting to strike and we can't send a message to warn them. So the choice. Do we hide and wait and hope Mon Mothma or Akbar or the other rebel leaders have survived and will find a way to contact us with instructions? Or do we get out there and solve this ourselves? And I think we all know where this is going to go, but we don't know yet, because here's where we cut to the Palace of Jabba the Hutt. And we get Lando dressed up like Aragorn at the beginning of Lord of the Rings when we first meet him in Bree.
Sorry. That's great.
Well, I just rewatched the film over the weekend. So that's on my mind, yeah. And he says, hey, you haven't seen Boba Fett around recently, have you? He says, okay, thanks, pal. Look, if you do, any chance you could just drop me a line. And I love the way this Amana Man is drawn here. It's so creepy.
Well, and technically, so he's creepy. Not an Amana Man. That's his name. He's an Imani. So.
Oh.
But, I mean, you know.
Wait,
this is clearly.
Amana Man is the name of the Imani.
Yes, yeah, this is clearly Amana Man, you know, the Imani bounty hunter. So.
Oh, because he's got the pole with the skulls on it, just like the action figure.
It's clearly him.
That Gamorrean guard is drawn very well.
Oh my god! Also. Every creature in this court is drawn perfectly. I want Jesus to stay on this book for more than the 6-issue arc.
Absolutely.
I hope that he does. So, I digress. Though I apologize.
No. Oh, we're talking about the art. But Bib Fortuna shows up and tells Lando, look, the exalted Jabba will deign to see you now. And I love that Lando just has his attitude this whole time. He's ever the con man. And I like what he says to Imani. He says, stay flat, pal. That made me laugh. And he, again, reiterates that he wants him to let him know if he hears anything. So Lando goes in to talk to Jabba. And this C-3PO, this protocol droid that he has, a translator droid that he has there, is pretty interesting. It looks like a cross between Episode 1 C-3PO and current C-3PO. And he's asking him why Jabba wishes to know why you've insisted on appearing here. He wishes to know why you told the Harlock gang you have a contract to provide Tabana gas to him when no such arrangement exists. He is particularly curious because the Empire has taken over your facility on Bespin and you no longer have Tabana gas to sell or anything else. And Lando says, word spreads fast, huh? And the droid says, all things come to Jabba the Hutt. He says, okay, so you're right, fine. I thought I could make a deal. You could help me, some of your fighters, help me take back Cloud City. I'll give you the best damn pricing on Tabana gas you'll ever get. And the droid says, well, Jabba wishes you to know he already has such a deal with the Empire. The rebellion is over. And I love that the last portion of each story before we cut back always ends on someone's face.
It's kind of cool, isn't it?
It's really good. I like the transitions. And we cut back to the Rebel fleet, and Shara Bay and Cass are talking, Shara says, what do you think, Cass? He says, I didn't become a rebel to hide, Shara. So she stands up and she says, we're in, every last one of us. And Leia smiles, and she's not surprised. She says, I'm pleased to hear it. So my father did begin this rebellion alongside other brave beings, many of whom gave their lives for the cause. Bail Organa did not live to see the Empire fall. We will. And I love the look of determination on her face as everybody else is just rah-rahing in the background. And she turns around and says, that's my part done, Commander. Can you give them specifics? And I love that she's brought in to basically rally the troops.
She is. Think about it. She's the very public face of the rebellion in the galaxy.
Absolutely.
I mean, she is the martyr. She's not quite the martyr to the cause, but her people were martyred for the cause, and she has been with it since the beginning. She's trained for it, albeit, perhaps not directly all her life. So, this is, again, we're seeing the legend of Leia being formed. That's the whole crux of this series. Is the Empire is at its zenith. The rebels are scattered. They're being hunted. These are impossibly, impossibly, impossible long odds. The chance for survival is next to nothing. But she's there, and she's rallying, and she's serving as the guidon. We can do this. We've got this. If we merely stay together, we can fight and we can win. So yeah, it's perfect. It's perfect. Perfect propaganda, but it's also legitimately adding extra layers to the foundation of Leia Organa, of Princess Leia, and then of course Senator Leia Organa, and then ultimately General Organa of the Resistance.
General Organa. So. And Greg picks up where she left off, and we get another reference to the High Republic. And he says, people of that time built a huge space station at great effort and expense and placed it in the center of the dark zones. It sent out a signal that acted as a sort of beacon helping travelers find their way. They gave that station an inspiring name fitting its purpose. We can find inspiration in it as well to find the rest of the Rebel fleet and bring them back together safely. Our task is difficult. It will take all of us, and it will take all of our skill, but we can do it. Let me tell you about Operation Starlight. And again, the image of the last image is his face. And
this has me intrigued, though, Jeff. Operation Starlight. This really has me intrigued because, you know, I don't think it's related to Project Luminous, but, you know, I may be reading too much into this, but, you know, in modern real world history, Operation Starlight was a battle in Vietnam where U.S. forces actually, you know, were able to go on the offensive for the first time against the North Vietnamese. And so I'm wondering if this is, you know, I'm wondering if this is sort of signaling that, you know, we are in, you know, in store for, you know, a, not so much a covert operation, but a surgical strike, against the Empire somewhere down the road. And we,
I'll see definitely.
Myself out now.
Okay. Nerd. So from there, we go back to Jabba's palace, and we got, you know, Lando still talking smack to Jabba. He says, I'll tell you something, Jabba, deals with the Empire have a way of turning south on you. Take it from me. And I love the way, you know, the way his hand is drawn in this. It's just pointing straight at him. His hand is huge in the panel. And he says, you should have worked with me on this. You'll find out eventually. And then we get two Gamorrean guards with their axes under his chin. He goes, oh, now what is this? And again, I love the way he's drawn his eyes. He's alarmed, but you get the sense that his voice would never betray that alarm. And the droid reminds him that you arrived on Tatooine in a very particular ship, a ship owned by someone who owes Jabba a great deal of money. He believes he should take that ship as partial payment, then he should feed you to his rancor for daring to obtain an audience with him under false pretenses, unless you have something else useful to offer. And you can see Lando thinking, and he says Han Solo is frozen into a block of carbonite right in front of my eyes on Cloud City. He just starts spilling everything. He was then handed off to someone. I can tell you exactly who has him. And the droid says, yes, but the great Jabba requires more. And Lando again says, I've been spending time with the Rebellion. They've sort of taken me in. I hear things from time to time. If there's something I think you'd be interested in, I'll pass it along. That's what I got, Jabba. Take me in. Take it or drop me into your damn pit. Honestly, at this point, it'd be a relief. Just don't leave me hanging. I got things to do. And I just love this swagger. Like you said, that this perfectly captures Lando. And I don't know that we've seen him really in this scenario before, where he really has nothing and is just grasping at straws, but never betraying the fact that he has nothing. Did you notice where on the panel where he says, I got things to do, did you notice the trickle of blood coming down his neck?
I did. Isn't that amazing? And it's such a
and down
small
the blade.
Detail, but it's, I mean, that little small detail adds so much weight to that panel.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, and he's just like, you know, Just that look. He's like, I'm tired of this. So, you know, because he's just that look. You know, you can see within his mind, he's realizing, all right, I got to play it. I got to play it just right. And I got to play both sides without them knowing about each other. And I got to save my own skin. And I've gotten myself in way too deep, but it's going to take everything I got to get myself out of it.
Right. And again, we know he's not really about to betray the Rebellion, but it certainly looks that way. So he gets back to the ship and he says, it went just fine, Chewie. Jabba doesn't have Han yet. Boba Fett hasn't been around. Means that we can focus our attention on tracking him down. All good. And this is where he starts trying to play another game. And this is where I'm not sure. Maybe he is just really trying to get away. He says, I'm no good to the Rebellion. They don't want me around anyway. What if you drop me off somewhere? I'd love to get back to Bespin, but honestly, put me anywhere you'd like. I'll find my way. I'm Lando Calrissian. I got friends everywhere. And Chewie says something, and he says, not on this ship. What? You're saying we're not friends? He says, that's cold, Chewbacca. Ice cold. So he says, you don't have friends on this ship. And I love the look that Chewbacca has when he's looking at him. Because he says, ice cold, and he says, oh, right, Han. Poor choice of words. Sorry. And for once, we don't have a close-up on a face before we cut, but we do have a close-up on Lando, and I think his posture really sort of reflects where he's at right now. He's got his feet up. He's just sort of kicked back, sort of resigned himself to his fate. And there we cut to Luke shooting at a remote and not doing a good job. And this scene, I have a question for you about, because Lando comes in, and this sort of rubs me the wrong way for Lando, but maybe it's supposed to. Because he walks in, and he says, "Hey, Luke, you practicing your blaster? I always thought they were for suckers, but to each their own." And Luke says, "Yeah, just getting used to my new hand. I need to be able to fight considering what's coming." And Lando says, "Yeah, I thought you had the Force. Isn't that what you said?" And there was one panel of them staring at one another, and Lando says, "Yeah, I thought it. I thought. I'm as good a gambler as you'll ever meet. I know a bluff when I see one. You and the Force are on friendly terms right now." Luke says, "What do you want, Lando?" And this is where he lays it out for him. He says, "You're tight with Leia and the Rebel leaders. I need to get back to Cloud City, and they'll never let me go. But if you ask, say you want to go need me as your guide." And Luke says, "Well, why would I ever go back there?" And he says, "Because how I hear it, you lost more than your hand there, your lightsaber too. Lightsabers are about the rarest things in the galaxy these days. Losing yours had to hurt." And again, I love the look on Luke's face, the way they've drawn this as he's considering this. And we see the hand get cut off, which we saw last issue as well. And we see the hand falling away with the saber falling as well. And Lando says, you okay there, Luke? And we see a hand reach out, a gloved hand reach out and grab it. As Luke's hand continues to fall, and we hear a voice that says, "Skywalker, follow your destiny." And there's a hooded figure holding the saber. So you tell me, how did you read this?
Well, here's the thing. He is having a Force vision of some kind.
Okay, that's what I was wondering.
Now, you have to remember, I've read the solicits, and you have not, but other people may have. So I know what's coming. But this is very clearly a Force vision. This is not like, you know, an Obi-Wan from beyond. I think this is maybe perhaps some sort of telepathic wavelength message or something. You know, reaching
and
out.
And so this is maybe the comics way of letting us know how the saber got saved and how Maz Kanata might have come into possession of it.
It's definitely, you know, I've used the term laying the foundation a lot this episode. But you're not wrong. You are not wrong.
Because the way it was drawn, I wasn't sure if this was just something he was imagining or if it was something that actually happened or what, or if it was something that happened that we just didn't see. So, and that's the end of the book. That's the end
of
this issue.
Heck of a cliffhanger.
To be continued. it really is. And, you know, we've gotten cliffhangers on every single thing. But so is Lando really trying to beg off of everything here?
No,
do you think?
Lando is a consummate con artist. He's going to play both sides. I mean, ultimately, he wants to save his own skin. But, you know, given where we are timing wise, I think, you know, within the saga, you know, Lando is still, you know, he's still in shock from losing Cloud City, and he wants to get back to the comforts of home. He wants to get back to what's familiar with him. But, you know, so I wouldn't say that he's exactly 100% loyal to the rebellion at the moment. I mean,
not at all. He's loyal to Lando.
I also think he does genuinely want to do right by Han. He really does.
But I think he also thinks he can do that while still serving his own agenda.
Very much so.
He's sort of trying to serve two masters here, or keep one foot in each world.
But ultimately, he's being self-serving because he wants to come out so that he is unscathed.
Exactly, and I love that they're doing that with the character because it's making him even more layered than he already was.
So, and that's what makes it so worthwhile.
Okay.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+.
So that will do it for the reviews this week. What have we got coming out next week? You promised that we had more books.
I promise. We have one comic. We have Star Wars Darth Vader number one. This is the third volume. Of course, this is the series that's being written by Greg Pak. The interior art's going to be by Rafaela Ayenko. So that's going to be a lot of fun. A lot of variant covers coming for this one. Looks like there's 6 different covers. including a Michael Del Mundo cover that is just to die for. And you can see that on the Twitter feed. And, later today when we update the penned tweet showing what's coming out next week, we'll have that cover on there. We are also getting our Star Wars Age of Republic hardcover, which is collecting all of the Age of Republic one-shots into a hardcover book. And yes, we are getting a Star Wars Age of Republic villains hardcover later this year as well. So, yeah.
Very cool. All right, so we'll be back next week to discuss the Marvel comics that comes out. And as far as I understand, we will have some Young Padawan reviews in the offing fairly soon, correct?
The Padawans will be gathering soon, so count on that coming. So
that's exciting. Yeah.
So, and last but definitely not least, you may have noticed on the Twitter feed this week that we are offering a giveaway. All 3 omnibus editions of Marvel's Star Wars Volume 1. And this collects issues 1 through 107. Unfortunately, it does not include issue 108, which came out last year. So, well after these omnibus editions were published. But this is being, we're doing this because comics colorist and illustrator Pete Pantazis needs help, urgent help to save his home. And he has got a GoFundMe. We have donated to this, as a podcast and as an individual. But Pete is good people, and lots of creators are rallying around to help him reach his goal to save his house. Read the tweet. We'll be sending it, a couple of times a day for a few days. If you can donate something, anything, whether it's $1 or $5 or $10 or $100, please do. And send us via DM a screen grab. After a week or so or 2 weeks, we'll take all the entries and we will do a completely random drawing. And whomever we draw, we will send all 3 omnibus editions to you for cheap as free. You won't even have to pay postage. Now, because they're omnibus editions, this is limited to U.S. residents only. These are hefty books. So, unfortunately, I wish it could be another way, but alas, it cannot. So, but even if you do live outside the U.S., there are ways, there are shipping services, where you can ship things to a U.S. address that in turn freights things abroad. So I won't tell you where to go. You'll have to figure that out. So, but if you have a U.S. address, a U.S. shipping address, you are eligible. So, yeah.
Excellent. Certainly a worthy cause. So,
very much so.
All right, well, we'll be back next week again to discuss everything else in the world of Star Wars comics. Matt, thank you for joining me.
Hey, thank you for having me.
And until next time, for Star Wars Splash Page, I'm Jeff.
I am Matt.
May the Force be with you.
Always.
The Star Wars Splash Page theme song is Mark Hamill Can Handle by Chris Cape. Check Chris out at chriscape.com and on SoundCloud, on Twitter at Chris Cape, and on Facebook.
Bud, stop peeing!
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.